Mark chapter 16. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he hath said unto you." And they went out quickly, and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. For a lot of people, these accounts of the resurrection are the most difficult for them to handle because they can't make sense of the differences between the accounts in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And there's a lot of different ways to look at it if it troubles you. I honestly don't trouble myself with it anymore. But they all agree that Jesus was risen from the dead. The accounts of who was there, when, and what is just a reflection of reality. That when things happen, the accounts sometimes differ. Different perspectives. Well, Paul, then how do you know you can trust the accuracy of everything else? I trust that what is written here is accurate. But it's accurate to the account of one person. The differences are there to trouble those who stumble at the word of God. They are there to turn them aside. To believe in Jesus Christ, I do not need a perfect account of who saw him first. And what were the exact circumstances of the seeing of him. Though that is the ultimate question, is Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Christianity hinges on that point. Because if Christ is not risen, it's good for people to live a moral life. But the hope of eternal life is bound up in his resurrection. Because if Christ died and rose from the dead, so we believe we also will rise from the dead. You know, we don't have immortal souls that are just going to go on living if nothing happens. Without God raising us from the dead, we're going to stay in the ground. We're going to rot. Resurrection is a critical element of Christian teaching, and one that was early cast aside for pagan teachings of immortal souls, for pagan teachings of paradise, drawn not from the Bible, but from other places. I draw my doctrine from the New Testament and from the Old, taken in light of the New Testament. So my counsel is not to trouble yourself about the accounts. And I accept the accounts of the gospel at pretty much face value, even when they conflict. Because, very simply, without trying to actually make it make sense, I just go under the assumption that any differences are due to different perspectives. And it is the truth, maybe not the whole truth. I mean, we aren't tracing the motions of these people from moment to moment. We aren't tracing, okay, Mary Magdalene, 5 a.m., gets out of bed, gets dressed, makes herself a little bread and hummus, and heads out, you know, and then on the way she meets so-and-so. And in a few sentences, he sums up a remarkable day. Because the Gospels aren't about communicating excessive amount of detail, but rather about communicating the simple facts of Christ's resurrection. And all these sightings, they really happen. They saw him. He appeared to them in different places. Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Doesn't say she was a lady of the evening or something like that. And not that it would diminish her if she had been. Because we've all sinned. I mean, being possessed of seven devils. But they love to portray Mary Magdalene as some sort of... All we have is what it says. And so, reading into that. I don't like that kind of reading into, oh, this is that. You know, just like, eh. Especially when it's something like that. It's one thing if we say, oh, you know, the young man who ran away naked could possibly be Mark. And it'd be one thing if they say that, if they say a particular person could be Mary Magdalene. But when it comes to things that are accusations of sin, you should be careful. You know, I wouldn't want it to be said, Paul Strangini, oh yeah, the guy who murdered 20 people. I've never done that. Now, why should I be characterized as such? Oh yeah, he was a murderer. Wouldn't want to be unjustly characterized. It's not just to characterize someone's sins as not being what they were. All it says of her that she had seven devils cast out of her. So we ought not read into, you know, read Mary Magdalene's name into every woman who had a bad reputation. It's not polite. We've been talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power that Christ gives us over sins since the beginning of this gospel, since the previous study in Matthew. We'll be talking about it in Luke. He rose from the dead, and even so we might be raised in newness of life as he was raised from the dead. As he was buried, we are buried in baptism as a picture of the resurrection from sin and unrighteousness unto eternal life. You know, God looks things as according to how he reckons them, how they're going to be reckoned in the end, in our lives being changed and raised from death and sin to God's reckoning. That makes us of those who will live forever. And our resurrection, though not yet attained in God's sight, is assured. Because he has chosen us in him from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the pleasure of his good will. According to the pleasure of his good will. To the praise of his glory, actually to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus Christ's resurrection is the fulfillment of that promise.